Good evening, everyone. This is Rochelle Wilhite, the designated broker for Best Choice Realty. We are on conference call number 2 tonight, Becoming a Market Master. We're going to talk about several really, really good ideas tonight about how you can set yourself apart and what I would do to really understand the marketplace and become a very trusted source for information. There's a lot of information being thrown at our clients right now, and it doesn't matter if you're working with buyers, sellers, or even both. It is a lot of confusing statistics and information that's being thrown at them, and sometimes it doesn't really affect, and other times it does affect what's going on. So we're going to spend some time discussing what you should ask yourself. It would be good for you to take notes tonight. If you are just jotting a few things down in your notebook, that would be good. And then we'll kind of go over some takeaways at the end of the call, some things that might be smart for you to check on a regular basis or search on the MLS in order for you to become a market master. So it's important that real estate brokers know what kind of real estate business they want. Some brokers have reached out to me, and it usually happens around as the fall season sets in and the real estate agents start getting calls from buyers that are looking for these really, really low deals, think they can make offers on, you know, say a property is worth $300,000 and they're wanting to lowball and go $150,000, half of the price. Some of these types of buyers come out of the woodwork around this time of year. It happens every year. I don't think there's been a dull day in real estate where I haven't had a good chuckle when these buyers call me and ask about these types of things. So you want to track the right kind of buyers and sellers. So you want to ask yourself these questions so you can really identify and become a marketing master, but also understand the market and how you fit into the market with your skill set. So number one, who have I worked with in the past? So you may want to jot down a quick note about what type of client or who. What kind of business am I attracting? Are you attracting the investor type clients, like I alluded to, where I always am getting phone calls about somebody looking for, you know, half off of the price? You know, you can really set yourself apart by not attracting that type of business, by putting things together or building a marketing or communication approach that attracts the right people. So what kind of business am I attracting? What kind of problems do I encounter most with my transactions? Great question to uncover. If you're always working with high maintenance buyers, then your business plan or your marketing plan will have to be cater around the people who are really analytical, who want the numbers. So make sure you know that if you're encountering problems with financing, you may want to get a lender on board that can also help you do classes or education or provide you with marketing from the financing angle if your buyers are more challenged in that regard. Maybe you have repeat or closed clients. What type of clients are those that are repeat clients? Are they in a certain price segment? We'll talk about more of that in just a little bit. Other things to keep in mind, what are similar characteristics of my buyers? Do they want the same type of property? Many of the buyers that I work with come from a certain, you know, demographic or have a certain type of similar, you know, they all like Seahawks, or they all like to go out to eat on the weekends. Those are some important things to know about similar characteristics of your buyer. That way you can properly apply a communication plan, or you can apply a market. Maybe they're doing postcards with like some coupons for eating out every month in a certain area. That would be something good to know. So you could really attract the right type of buyers with your marketing that you're putting out there. And then what hobbies do my clients often have? A lot of the brokers that I interview with to come and join Best Choice Realty, one of the things I ask them is, where do you get your clients from? What source of business, you know, are you working? Most of the brokers that work for Best Choice, 90% of them actually have their own sphere of influence or network where they attract business from. And when you really dial into that piece, you'll find out that they all go to the same church, or they all attract are going to the same club, or they may all meet on a regular basis, or they all are part of a swim club. Whatever that would be, what hobbies do my clients often have? You may want to write down some words or some ideas around that tonight. Once you've real estate brokers have evaluated their client base, only then can they then assess the current market and get that information to the clients the way they want the information given to them. They really should examine, you know, when you're looking at that, examine not only the marketplace, but also how you attract the clients and then the properties. What about their life that attracts these types of people? And then how do you get them to communicate with you about those types of things going on in the marketplace? So we'll talk about how you go from a high level or a very, very broad marketing plan, then segment it down into a smaller or more concrete way of communicating with those individuals in your business. So in order to be a market expert, a lot of people ask me, Rosella, how did you become a market expert in the Puget Sound area? You seem very knowledgeable about King County and Pierce County and Thurston County. And I am learning Snohomish County and learning the Kitsap Peninsula right now. How did you become a market expert, or how is that perceived? What do clients see you as, and when do they determine that you're the market expert? Well, certainly when you do sales or you actually have closings in that particular area, that's pretty good indication that you could be a market expert, but that's not always the case. What you'll find sometimes is that there are five really key things that clients see that will lead them to believe that you are a market expert. So we're going to go over each one of those things, and you may want to take some notes on each item that I'm going to express tonight. And then ask yourself, when we get done going through the five items, maybe I need, if I'm trying to be a market expert in Snohomish County, maybe I need to spend some more time in area 1, 2, and maybe 3. But number 4 and 5, I'm actually doing a pretty good job on. So this will help point you in the right direction of where you should spend most of your time in identifying some key things in the marketplace. So you can be perceived as a market expert. And ultimately, not the perception, but the perception could become the reality in a very short amount of time. So of these qualities that I'm going to explain to you, you know, think about what's most important for a real estate broker in your area, and then we're going to talk about the next thing to do. So number 1 is legitimate and credible. Most buyers are looking for someone that has the know-how that can put their name and a photo, and that they're very connected to that community. So when they do a search for West Seattle, they know that Heidi Mitchell is, you know, very prominent. You know, they go and they find out that she's located in West Seattle. She's sold properties in West Seattle. She has listings in West Seattle. They're looking for that legitimacy and credible know-how, somewhere where there's a name and a photo and a website that really connects to that. And maybe from multiple sources that really confirm that you are who you say you are. That's what clients are looking for when it comes to legitimacy and credible attributes of being a market expert in a particular area. So number 1. Number 2 is, in order for me to become a market expert, say in Snohomish County, which I don't live, but so legitimacy and credibility, you know, I have sold some things in Snohomish County, and I have people, in fact, I'm talking with a gal right now who's thinking about listing her place in Lake Stevens. So I must have passed the number 1 legitimacy and credible test, but number 2 is still up for grabs. I don't know if I have the knowledge that this particular buyer is looking for in that area. So I don't have, if you're knowledgeable, how you're able to show that to a client is with your accreditations or with your experience working within a niche marketplace in, for example, the Lake Stevens area. I don't have that. It could be you're knowledgeable about a particular zip code and the trends that are happening in that zip code in the marketplace. So since I don't have accreditations and I don't have experience working with this particular niche, 55 plus or green or luxury, I'm going to have to rely very heavily on my knowledge when I go to meet with this particular buyer on the zip code that they are looking at, the Lake Stevens area zip code. I don't even know the zip code. So that's shame on me for not knowing that when I'm on the phone with this client. So number one, legitimacy. Number two, becoming knowledgeable and understanding what area or what zip code or what kind of experience or accreditation you can lean on to express your knowledge, that you're knowledgeable to your particular buyer set. Number two. Number three, you need to be experienced. So, you know, when I was on the phone call with this particular client, you know, for me, it's very easy because I have been in the business. So my experience, you know, would outshine many other new agents to the business. So you definitely want to share with your clients how long you've been working this particular industry or how long you've been working a certain zip code. Mention that. That's worth mentioning because clients are looking for experienced brokers or experienced agents in that particular area. Clients want to trust somebody who's been in the business for a very long time. It's not their first time doing it. They want to feel that there's confidence there. Experience and confidence will really show when you express that to your particular buyers. If something comes up in a transaction, they know that an experienced agent will know what to do. And if you've received some special recognition or awards, share that. And sometimes you may not be experienced in this particular marketplace. Maybe like Stephen's client that I was talking about, you know, there was another property owner, and that's how I got their name and number, who had said, hey, my friend is thinking about selling and buying. Would you be willing to help her? And certainly I said yes to that. And, you know, I may want to share with that agent or with that client, you know, how that agent or how that client, why they chose me as their broker. I may want to not tell them how experienced I am in, you know, I don't want to tout my, you know, toot my own horn so much because I already did on the phone with my legitimacy and credible way of knowing that I've, you know, I've done some business up in that area. But maybe I want to have my friend, who is also a licensed real estate broker, share some reasons on why she should use me as her buyer's agent. So if you have not, if you're not experienced, rely on your team, rely on Best Choice Realty as an overall team. We have three different sheets or PDFs that you can include that shows, you know, very simply all of the addresses that we've sold in Snohomish, King, or Pierce County. It is on our resource guide. If you have a, you know, you're really kind of concerned about, I'm a newer agent, I just moved to the area, I don't know if my experience is really going to show through, you can certainly download those three PDFs, depending on King, Pierce, or Snohomish, and that's all of the sales that we at Best Choice Realty have done, or a good, you know, 20 that you can rely on that has addresses. So you can say, my team and I have conducted many transactions in the Snohomish County area. In fact, I'd be happy to send you a list of those addresses. And that will go a long way so that clients understand that we do a lot in the industry and we are experienced, whether it be you new to the business but backed by a very experienced broker and experienced team. Number four, you want to be very personable. Brokers, buyers choose to work with brokers where the real estate broker has their best interests in mind. They want to know that you understand them, that you're not talking over them, and that you're listening to what they're saying. So when the client calls me and says, Rochelle, I'm looking for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home in Lake Stevens, I'm able to listen, ask good follow-up questions so that I appear to that buyer that I'm personable, that I'm willing to listen. You may have to do a lot of, you know, where they're sharing information, you may have to repeat back so that they understand that you are personable and that you are listening to them. Some real estate brokers are like a machine. They're just like, boom, 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 I want this, you know, you want a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and they just kind of write down a bunch of notes, and they think that that particular client will work with them or that they're viewed as personable. Just to be a market master, you also have to be personable. You can't just be, you know, here's all the data and give that to them and appear that you're the market expert in the area. They may take that market data or market research and go find another agent who's more personable. And that was the reason why you were not seen as the market expert and while your friend in the same marketplace is dominating that area was because of their personable attitude or how they're conveying the statistics or the information to that potential buyer. The last one is number five, which is responsive. So people are so demanding these days. I mean, if you don't answer your phone or call them immediately, or when, you know, my friend says, hey, Rochelle, give this lady a call. You know, I didn't wait 5 hours or a day to contact this particular person. I called them immediately, within 5 minutes, in fact. So that responsiveness, if they reach out or they want a response, they're going to, you know, make it seem like, yeah, give me a call as soon as you can. But what you need to say is, please call me now. In your mind, you should be saying that, because a good market expert is going to respond very quickly, in fact, within 5 minutes. Real estate brokers need to strike while the iron is hot. Pick up the phone. Don't be shy of the phone. Email as quickly as possible, or you may lose that prospective client, or the prospective client does not consider you a market expert. Online leads are not loyal, so that's the number one thing. So you'll be able to really outshine some of those brokers who pay thousands of dollars and do not convert well, because they are not seen as market experts. They are seen as responding well and maybe quick, but they definitely don't have the market experience or the personable or the knowledge or the legitimacy, but they may be very responsive, and that might be the only thing that they have going for them. So once you've identified, you know, what you've got as far as what you come to the table with, what your clients have come to the table with, only then can you really start to understand the marketplace. Being knowledgeable about the niche marketplace, like we talked about earlier, it could be a zip code, it could be a city, it could be a community, or even be a neighborhood. Being knowledgeable, knowing which houses are pending, active, and sold in an area, and for how much, is the easiest way to become a market expert and set yourself apart from the crowd of real estate brokers. When determining which marketplace you're going to be a market expert in, you're really going to want to consider the following. Some brokers that I've seen do this exercise, and we've done this in live sessions, and we've done this in a virtual conference call, and I've seen a lot of them spend time on a worksheet. Some of them have gone way too broad, so some of you will spend too much time looking at like Pierce County or King County, and some of them have gone too narrow, where they've gone with like the place where they live, which would be like, for example, they've gone with Sky Island. It's a neighborhood up in Bonnie Lake. So they've gone too narrow, and they've only focused on their efforts or their marketing and their prospecting only on a select neighborhood that only has like 40 or 50 homes in that particular tract. So be very careful that you don't go too broad or too narrow. Real estate agents will have greater success really narrowing their marketplace to a specific area. So instead of saying, I hear this a lot, I'm a market expert in Seattle, maybe you want to refine that a bit, you know, now in the new year, and say, you know, I'm a real estate broker, and I'm a market expert in the Capitol Hill, University District areas, and Green Lake areas. Be very, you know, that you're a market expert in those areas. It's hard to be a market expert in the entire area of Seattle. And when some brokers have done that, you can almost sense it on the phone how that buyer's interpreting that to be. No one real estate broker understands all areas of Seattle. And I would question that. And that might not be legitimate and credible when the agent makes that claim. So be sure you're thinking about that when you are conveying or looking at the market stats and how you're explaining it to your clients. The next thing you want to think about when you're trying to become a market expert is the inventory counts. You should know how many houses are active in the target criteria, and you should know the days on market for properties before they go pending. So how you do that is you just look at the, you can do it by community. It's probably the easiest on the MLS. You identify what community, maybe it's 120 in Federal Way. You know, that's one area I watched very closely for a while because it's where my in-laws live. And they were always on the hunt for investment properties, and maybe I want to sell my house. And so I watched that area very closely. So, you know, I would want to know the inventory counts. How I would do that was I'd go to the MLS and I would look to see how many houses are active in a specific target criteria. Had to be 3 bedrooms, had to be 2 baths, definitely residential, not condos. Plug in some different criteria there, not too many, keep it pretty broad, and then search for all of the active properties. I would want to look through and just look at the current days on market. You know, is it average that it's about 30 days in the market, 40 days in the market before they go pending? That would be important to know the inventory. The next thing you may want to do with your segment area is to look at the median price point. You should know what price ranges are good for first-time homebuyers in that particular segment. So in the example of Federal Way, I'm going to want to know what's the price range for first-time homebuyers in that area? What's the price range for secondary homes for people that are upsizing? What is the median price point for luxury homes? And what's the median price point for investors in that particular target area? So once you've identified what area, how much inventory you've got, what is the median price, then you want to calculate the absorption rate. And the absorption rate now is easy to find when you look at the MLS. So you've got inventory, so broad to narrow, make sure you've identified where your market expert, where you're going to specialize, what the inventory counts are in that particular area, what the median price, what the absorption rate would be. And then you may want to start with a proximity close to you as well. So maybe you have two areas you're watching. You want to target an area that's reasonable distance from you so that if a client calls to show a house or you live in a certain area, I know where everybody lives because I've brought all your license on and I've had it in an easy trackable way. When a client calls and they're asking for a particular agent, I can look up our roster and I can identify where that agent lives. And I tell them generally, you know, they are very familiar with the Bellevue area. So I have that kind of knowledge. But you may also want to, you know, since I have that knowledge and your clients will know that you live or work in a certain area, but you may want to, you know, also consider another target area. Maybe it's not all your business is in Bellevue. Maybe you want to also consider Issaquah because people are moving out of the Bellevue area and maybe looking for more land or looking to, you know, sell what they have in Bellevue because the market is so hot and get more house or more house for the money. And so in order to do that, you may have to go outside of the Bellevue area in order to accomplish that task. So you may want to consider two different target areas to look at in the coming year. Here's an example, and we'll end with this example. Mary Sue and her husband are looking to buy a house in or around Seattle, and they're relocating from Colorado to work for Amazon. She needs to buy a house that's move-in ready under $600,000. Two agents have reached out to her to find a house. I'm going to read you what Janet did and then what Emmett did. These are just, it's just a case study. Janet is a real estate agent from the Seattle area. In fact, she's lived in Green Lake. She's been in the real estate business for over 20 years. After a call with Mary Sue, Janet said she would let her know if something came up in Seattle, but she didn't see Mary Sue buying a house that was move-in ready in the Green Lake area because of her budget. So she recommended renting until something came on the market. Okay, so that's number one agent, agent number one, who's Janet. Agent number two, Emmett, also contacted Mary Sue. Most real estate brokers, well, most buyers will talk to about five real estate brokers before they make a decision on a broker to represent them. So on average, you know, Mary Sue, this lady coming from Colorado who's relocating to our area, has probably started her search and is in the hunt for a good real estate broker to represent her. So Janet has reached out and Emmett has reached out, and Emmett tells her that he's a real estate broker who works primarily in the South King County area. He is new to the business. He didn't tell her that, but he is new to the business, but continually looks at the marketplace in South King County to see what homes are active, sold, and pending. After a call with Mary Sue, he told her that she might want to consider looking for homes a little further south in the Seattle area, as there could be more move-in ready homes available in her price range, and she would be near transit stations that would allow her easy commutes to work. Now, when you think about those two agents, there's obviously two different approaches here and they're both utilizing market, they would be seen in different arenas as a market master. Janet clearly has more know-how or more experience in number three. She's more of an experienced broker And depending on how she conversed with Mary Sue, that's relocating, she could become more personable than Emmett. And, you know, she could have been more responsive, but Emmett called her right away. Where it really came down to is how they communicated their legitimacy and their experience and their knowledge about the Seattle area. So when you look at the two brokers, is one real estate broker more of a market expert than the other? Certainly. And so you want to look, remember the five things we covered at the beginning of the call, and think about, you know, how you communicate some of those things that we discussed later in the call about, you know, they're a market expert in Seattle. How do you communicate that? What do you say? How do you infuse some of the market statistics that you're finding into the conversation? There's a lot of confusion as to what they should spend their money on when targeting and farming for prospects. But many real estate brokers don't take the time to really understand the marketplace. Instead, they spend tons of money just dropping postcards and making calls to too broad of an audience. All the data is available on the MLS. There's no need to spend any more money to collect more data. All you have to do is pull it up and provide it to your clients in the way that they want it. Don't rely on the third-party sites. A lot of these third-party sites will give trends and give information, such as Zillow, such as different companies that have built websites that give them data and give buyers, consumers information. But they're often frustrated, and they're also limited, and many times inaccurate information is posted about listings online, which skews the numbers. And these frustrations can be attributed to the fact that many popular websites and apps use the consumers as information and not information that's provided by the MLS. Some of these frustrations are the results of real estate brokers posting listings with limited information. Sometimes they don't put any information about square footage or limited information. And the reality is that the prospective buyers just want accuracy. They want a market master to represent them. You'll be able to connect with many clients more by establishing credibility. So in order to create some ideas, some takeaways tonight as we end the call, here are some things that you can do just in the next 30 days that will really set you apart from those other companies and other entities that claim that they're the market expert. I would venture to guess that any one of the people at Best Choice Realty has the tools and maybe just doesn't know how to apply the tools, but start. You know, start with a plan tonight and try to see if any of these things works for you. And if you have problems, certainly reach back out to me and I'll be happy to give you feedback. But number one, create and send a report on a regular basis. Monthly or quarterly, send that out to your database or your people that you so you can stay top of mind. Provide the clients an update on an area they are looking for to purchase or to sell. So the one example I gave earlier in the call with one of our agents in West Seattle, you know, she has created a very good letter, and she sends this report on a monthly basis in an email to her client base. And most likely, I think she's posting it on her blog, and she's probably with the addresses because sometimes she doesn't have email addresses. I'm assuming, and I think I'm probably good to assume this, she is also spending for mail to hand address and mail this to a lot of her clients in the West Seattle area in that type of way. So she's not only communicating on email to some of the clients, she's also communicating by mail and also on an online blog, which gets trafficked. So create and send a report on a regular basis. Tip number one, that's a good way to start communicating that you are a market master and building on that over time. Number two, consider sending a saved search from the MLS to your client. That will automatically go out to your client about properties that fit their criteria, whether that be location or price or beds and baths, square foot, or even lot size. One of the top agents in our area, what she does is she closes on the property, and one of the things that she systematically does in her checklist is once she closes on a property with somebody, she'll automatically set that buyer up for an alert, so it reports on a regular basis, on a monthly basis, or on a weekly basis. She sets it up so that they receive listings, so they're kind of like the person that knows everybody in the business and in the neighborhood. that particular buyer is getting an email from this agent at least weekly, maybe monthly, on what homes are on the marketplace, what homes came on, what homes sold for in the neighborhood, in the house that they actually closed on. And that's a great way to communicate with your closed clients. Is consider saving them a search on the MLS or on the CRM that you're using so that they're automatically sending listings or properties that fit the criteria. That is huge. Great way to become a market master, to look like you know what you're doing. And there is a way to automate that. So it's a way to get that done quite simply. Number three, create a flyer or some sort of page with statistics about a specific area, and then include a call to action at the bottom of that flyer. Very simple to do if you wanted to take that upon yourself tonight. Tomorrow morning, I'd get on the phone tomorrow with my trusted title rep. I'd ask for the demographics of a particular marketplace or zip code. So if I had a neighborhood, let's say Clyde Hill, I would contact my title rep. I'd ask for the demographics and the one-page market report on Clyde Hill. And then I would include a call to action at the bottom. On that market report, you're going to see the median price. You're going to see the demographics. You might even see how many homes are owned or rented. That's the type of things that clients are going to want to see, that you are a market expert. The part that a lot of people don't do that is missing from their plan is they don't put a call to action at the bottom of that flyer. They instead take the information that's been provided by their trusted title company and they just forward it to their client, which may not be bad. I mean, at least they're doing something on a regular basis, but even better would be to provide a call to action. So I would write in like my email, say I was just going to attach it. I would write, as you can see from the current market report attached for the Clyde Hill area, we are currently seeing home selling for more than what they were listed, and it could be even rising in certain areas. This type of pricing is an opportunity for you to buy a home or help a friend of yours buy a home today and have it increase in value by next year. When would be a good time for us to discuss this opportunity? Or when would I be able to discuss this opportunity with other people you know? That's the call to action. That's the piece that's missing many times from the client seeing you as a market expert. If you're not consistent, if you're not sending them on a regular basis, if you're not conveying the information that they're looking for at the time that they want it, those are the kinds of things that will really make you stand apart. So with that, I'll let you guys go. Have a great evening tonight. We'll talk to you next week about conference call number 3. If you have any questions about your particular segment or your market, becoming a market master after our call tonight, you certainly are welcome to send me an email with your plan. And if you'd like me to comment on the plan, I'd be happy to do so. So have a great evening, and we'll talk to you soon.